This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talks of football, NFL style. He's on the Ackerman Security Hotline. Let's welcome in longtime NFL analyst, columnist, broadcaster. He's John Clayton. John, welcome to the program. We appreciate your time. And, you know, Vinny knows from his days in professional college sports, I've been in media for almost 20 years, that sports and sports media could be a volatile business. And last week at ESPN, boy, that showed itself in a big way, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. A lot of my colleagues no longer going to be contributing to ESPN. And it's just kind of a very tough week and an emotional week. It was very sad to see from Ed Werder to all the others. It was just a very, very difficult time. And you know, as time comes out, I'm sure more names are going to pop out. But I just wish the best to everybody.
Now, John, what did you think? I know you were in Philly doing the draft. What was your impressions of Philadelphia as a host city?
Well, it was fantastic, except for one thing. They scheduled it during the Penn Relays. So most of us didn't get a chance to stay in Philadelphia. Like, for example, I was with the ESPN group was pretty much in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and there was even some people from the NFL in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I'm talking about the NFL front office, because it was hard finding hotel spaces. You know, the Penn Relay is vast, and apparently scheduling it on the same weekend didn't allow a lot of us to enjoy Philadelphia. But, boy, you talk about what a great scene, what a great setup. I mean, here it was right next to the museum where Rocky was standing, and, you know, there was just blocks and blocks of people that were organized. It was great. The fans were fantastic with their emotion. And then to think this went on for all those hours and there was not one single arrest. There was a lot of energy and a lot of fun. I think it was a great setting, and they've got to go back.
Now, will they go back next year, John, or is it a rotating thing every year?
It's a rotating thing every year. It appears they're probably going to go to Dallas next year. That seems to be what the ideas are. And then eventually, once they get the new stadium built in Los Angeles, they'll have it out there. Once they get all the construction done in Canton, Ohio, they'll have the draft there. So a lot of moving and shaking. But year to year, they try to make a decision of where it's going to go.
Okay, your impression of the Ravens draft?
I was impressed in the fact that they stayed on defense. I think that was pretty good. I was surprised they went with Marlon Humphrey, but solid cornerback, you know, middle of the first round. In fact, a lot of people thought he was the second best cornerback in the draft. And then I liked that, you know, those next picks were in the front seven, because now some holes are developing in the front seven. You know, and Bowser getting a pass rusher, a defensive tackle in Wormsley, and another edge rusher in Tim Williams. So I think that's a good building block on defense. Certainly it didn't help the wide receiving crew, but remember, you only have seven draft choices. You can only take maybe one side of the ball 1 year, and then you work on the other side the next.
But they may not have time, John. John Harbaugh may not have time to work on the next year. Because Ozzie says he'd be out there looking for, you know, receivers. Because, John, in my mind, they need two offensive linemen yet, plus, you know, a wide receiver. Is there anything out there now, or do you see people getting cut or possible trade? How about a Sammy Watkins trade possibly?
I guess that's a possibility, because he knows he's on a one-year situation. But then, you know, what would they have left if they do anything with Watkins this year? So that probably is one that's going to be hard to pull. But no, I think that they got to explore something. And you know, guys are going to get cut. I mean, the first wave's going to be once everybody goes to the rookie mini camps and they see, okay, we're okay here, okay there. But what's ever going to be let go, is that going to be good enough to be able to fix and add to the wide receiving core? And then the offensive line, I'm sure veterans are going to get cut, and then maybe get something going there. But clearly they've got to hope that they can at least fill that right tackle spot and have it work right.
Now, John, who did you like drafts in the AFC North? You know, Pittsburgh, Cincy with Ross, Pittsburgh with Watt. Cleveland had three picks in the first.
Yeah, I mean, just for volume, you have to give you give it to Cleveland, and I think they did a better job this year than in year one, because now at least they get two guys that can probably start on defense. I mean, Myles Garrett, best pick in the draft, that will help. And then Jabril Peppers, however they try to play him, I think that'll help. So I think they did well. I like what Cincinnati did, even though I know the ABC affiliate is not taking well to the Joe Mixon signing a draft choice because they want to try to have a boycott against the Bengals. But John Ross has so much speed and is a good football player. It's one thing to be able to have speed. He's 4.22. But remember, he started his college career playing cornerback. So he's a football player who can run, and I think he can really help them out. And I think Mixon's a clear first-round pick that can really get that running game even better. They've got two good running backs now. Jeremy Hill's in the last year. And I know Jordan Willis is just a good football player. So I like what Cincinnati did. Pittsburgh was pretty solid. Baltimore was pretty solid.
Now, John, do you see, I mean, Cincinnati was 6-9-1 last year. Pittsburgh won a division. You know, just from drafts and what they've done in the offseason, you know, how do you like the AFC North?
I like it in the sense that you look at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh probably stands out as being the one team that can at least challenge the Patriots. And with the easier schedule that the AFC North has, that should help. And if it comes down to Pittsburgh gets home field for the AFC Championship game against New England, if that's going to be the case, then that might give them a chance to go to the Super Bowl. But I like a lot of what's going on with Pittsburgh, the roster, and how that's peaking. You know, Baltimore clearly. And, you know, the teams in this division are going to get better. We'll put Cleveland aside. I can't necessarily say that that's going to happen in Cleveland. But with the way the schedule's going, and the one thing that's going to help Cincinnati, they played a lot of close games and didn't have success. Usually you look at the metrics of that, and you can bounce back. I mean, you saw that last year in 2015. The Giants in Tennessee were involved in so many close games and lost so many of them, and they were the bounce-back teams last year. So I think Cincinnati's going to bounce back. The one worry with them, the offensive line. They lost two Pro Bowl caliber guys on the left side of the line, and they definitely don't have enough to replace that.
Now, John, which team's going to make the jump? Because I know you do all the statistical analysis, you know, with schedule strengths and all that, and you do a great job of figuring out who's going to be that team or those teams that, because of schedule, win a bunch more games.
Well, I know the schedule's tough in San Diego for the AFC West. I mean, that's probably the toughest scheduling in the league. But I think you're going to see the Chargers bounce back, the Los Angeles Chargers, even though they only have 27,000 people watching their games, because they have Philip Rivers. They've got I think they've had a pretty good draft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with the defense there with Wade Phillips, that's going to be able to get a good bounce back. So overall, I think they have a chance to bounce back. I think Jacksonville is going to make a little bit of a run, too, because last year they did so well getting the defense together. It cost Gus Bradley the job because Blake Bortles did so poorly. But now you have Leonard Fournette there. So I think that Jacksonville can probably get to 7-8 games because they're athletic on defense, good, I think, on offense, if they can get something out of the quarterback.
John Clayton joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on this Wednesday. John, courtesy of the Ackerman Security Hotline. In New England, we expect them to be good defending Super Bowl champs. But fill us in, if you can, John, on the Malcolm Butler drama going on there. He reported the voluntary minicamp. Is he going to be a happy camper throughout the course of this season?
I can't imagine him being a happy camper because two things went wrong. One, he didn't get the contract extension that it was going to pay him $11 or $12 million or so or more in New England. And secondly, he knows that they're probably not going to re-sign him. They have him at $3.9 million. And the reason, I guess, not that they expressed it to him, is that during the season last year, as good as Malcolm Butler was, and he was their number one cornerback, they had to shade a safety behind him a little bit on some of the deeper passes. And that's why they went ahead, because they felt there was going to be facing better quarterbacks, that Bill Belichick got Stephon Gilmore because they thought he would be able to be a better man-to-man guy, even though Gilmore didn't have really great seasons in the last 2 years. So overall, he just has to get through this season. He knows he's going to get a good contract next year, but certainly he's got to look over and say, well, what did I do? I helped win a Super Bowl with one play. I was the number one corner, and I'm being treated almost like a number three.
Hey, John, week one of this coming season, Jimmy Garoppolo is on what team?
He's on the New England Patriots. I mean, I know Adam Schefter accurately reported all along that he wasn't going to be traded, and my position was it didn't make sense to keep him, particularly knowing that they gave away their two best defensive players in trades, Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, and only gets a 2 and a 3 for them. And here was Jimmy Garoppolo, probably could have netted him three draft choices, you know, more than any trade value that they had, and he's probably not going to play next year. So I thought that was going to happen. It did not. And the fact that it did not happen now, I don't see it happening again. Because remember, what happens next year, because it wasn't the case this year, there is a better crop of quarterbacks that are going to be available, from Sam Darnold to Josh Rosen. Jimmy Garoppolo will be there. You get more choices next year. And if that's going to be the case, why give up three draft choices over the next couple of years to do this? So Garoppolo will be with the New England Patriots.
John, the biggest shock of round one to you when you were broadcasting was what made you go, wow?
Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, particularly, let's put it this way. I don't know who was more shocked. Me, Bill Polian, or John Fox? Because John Fox didn't have an idea.
He's really?
Like, they didn't even tell him. And so all of a sudden, here they are giving up all those draft choices, you know, three additional draft choices, two this year and one next year, moving all the way up to number two, having a short draft with only five, and here's John Fox, who's really fighting to keep his job this year, because this is year three, and he has to have a quarterback that he can't probably play this season.
So, John, the GM didn't tell him they were trading up. I mean, so Foxy's sitting there, and he's on the phone trading up, and he's like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, stunned. And so you can see that was probably one of the bigger shocks in the last couple of years. Now, you knew that Cleveland was trying to trade up, particularly after they took Myles Garrett, but to have Chicago after signing, again, we knew Mike Lennon's on a year-to-year deal.
Right.
And so you thought that on his, you know, you pay him $15 million this year and a $3 million guarantee next year, and then you get another quarterback. To make the move like this, it's bold. I guess you can say they have their quarterback of the future, but you wonder about the future of John Fox.
Well, his former quarterback, Jay Cutler, John's out there looking for work, as is Colin Kaepernick, among others. When are we going to start hearing some news regarding these two guys?
Probably training camp. I mean, if a quarterback gets hurt some in the OTAs and in minicamp, because you know, I would have to think that Jay's position is if some good team that has a quarterback injury wants him, then he'll go. If not, he probably just retires, because he wouldn't go to a bad situation, because I don't think that interests him. So he has to wait for the next injury, and usually you don't get guys injured in minicamp OTAs, and so that probably puts him on the training camp course. Same thing for Colin Kaepernick.
Now, John, what draft did you like the best? Which team impressed you the most from the draft?
Well, San Francisco, because the way they were able to maneuver, and I thought that was amazing for John Lynch in his first draft and for Kyle Shanahan to be able to pull this off, because they got three. Remember, they're switching to the Seahawks defense, and they were able to get three scheme fits that fit what they're looking for on defense. Did they get a quarterback? No, not really. I mean, C.J. Beathard's probably just going to be developed more as a backup. But what they were able to do was get the start of what they need to build the defense. You know that next year they're probably going to end up getting Kirk Cousins at quarterback, so they know where that's going to go, because they're not going to put the third franchise tag on him, so he probably ends up going to San Francisco. And then they get draft choices for next year, good draft choices for next year. So you put that all together, I think San Francisco did the best job.
Who blew it?
You have to put Chicago possibly in that category, because, again, if it doesn't work out for Mitchell Trubisky, you basically threw away this draft, because here was a deep draft and you only got five players. So I would probably put them in the category of that. I did like the idea, even though it's a little bit of a gamble for Houston, because to move up to get Deshaun Watson, because I know it cost them a first and a second. The second next year is the one that they had to just use to dump Brock Osweiler's salary. So basically it's a number one and number two for Watson, but they had to do something at quarterback.
Now, John, next year Cleveland's drafting for Houston and Cleveland next year.
I know that. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they have that set up, but the question is, can they do it right? I think they did a better job this year, but are they going to do what they did last year? Well, it wasn't a very good job.
What happens with Osweiler?
Right now, I guess he stays on the roster maybe through training camp and then probably gets dumped. And, you know, they wanted some kind of a deal, just a mid-round choice or something, just to take the salary, and then they were going to pay a whole bunch of the salary. So I think that, you know, they just kind of keep him for protective purposes and then hope he doesn't get hurt. But it doesn't matter, because they're stuck with a $16 million salary.
He's John Clayton, veteran NFL writer, columnist, TV personality. You know who he is. You've seen him all over the place.
Man, got the best commercial out there.
Oh, well, it's Anthrax or Slayer, right?
Absolutely. Slayer, of course. Lord.
Yeah, Slayer.
Slayer.
We got Metallica coming here to Baltimore next week, so it's all kind of intertwined, John Clayton. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate the insight, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks, guys.
John Clayton on the Ackerman Security Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.